Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. We are going to talk about compasses and sextants. What? Compasses and sextants? Stay tuned. Well, welcome back. It's good to have everyone back with us this week. And, of course, our primary focus is just to help educate everybody, quite frankly. We want to present truth out there as there is so much error and, quite frankly, being overwhelmed with a lot of disinformation and misinformation. So as pastors, David, I use the illustration of sextants and compasses. Mm-hmm. And what's the correlation? Well, in the old days, a mariner could be at sea, and as long as he could see the North Star, he could use a sextant and fix his position on the map. And the same thing is true with compasses, which we're more familiar with. They should always be pointing due north.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are in a day and age where people don't know what the truth is. I mean, you want to take a look at a good example. We don't know what boys and girls are anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
We don't know the difference between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we know other issues that aren't as obvious and clear as that? And, of course, a lot of it, David, we're going to talk about this today, and you coming out of academics and a background, this should be right down your alley. But, you know, to me, it's the difference between multiculturalism and multi-ethnic.
Yeah.
Now, America is multi-ethnic, but we can't be Islamic and operate under the laws of nature, nature's God, and operate under atheism all at the same time. Because there are three opposed worldviews.
Sure.
So you can be of any skin color, but when people came to the United States of America, the old motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, we've become one.
Mm-hmm.
But he came to America because they loved the idea of America.
Sure.
They loved the freedom, the liberty, the responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And people are still coming to this country. Yeah.
Exactly. Why are there millions trying to get across the southern border? Why, rather than millions trying to
into
get
China,
out?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
In China, not here.
We don't see the same problem anywhere else.
Right.
Other than here.
Yep.
So we've got to recognize that, yes, in fact, we all in America, we're all mutts. I mean, I don't know. I've got Indian in me. I've got Scotch-Irish in me. Who knows? Yeah. I've got a litany of things in me. But I'm Paul Blair. I was born in Edmond, Oklahoma. That's really as much as I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to recognize that ethnic backgrounds are different. Coming out of different backgrounds is fine. But you have to agree on one level playing field and what the rules are if a civilization is going to function.
Mm-hmm.
We have to used to be agreement about patriotism and certain things.
Sure.
Now we see all of that going crazy anymore. Well, it's not just here in America. And, of course, last week we talked about Yasser Arafat. We showed the video of the BLM marchers chanting from the river to the sea during one of the BLM marches. So we see that this same multicultural battle is actually one of the things that's taking place in the Middle East. And, of course, this has biblical roots to it.
Sure.
But I want to share with our audience a couple of videos. We may take a few minutes longer today, but they're so important as our people can see exactly what I'm talking about. But the education produces the final product.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Well, if you train up a child to hate other people or to be dysfunctional, then it's going to be very difficult for them to have a non-dysfunctional life.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it can't happen, but the education of children is key. So let me start with this one video just to kind of start our conversation.
If we seek peace between Palestinians and Israelis, we must educate our children to want peace. But the Palestinian Authority educates children to hate.
I am the Palestinian child. My toys are the rock and the rifle.
My friend, do you know what the 48 lands are?
Haifa, Jaffa, Acre.
Correct, and Nazareth, and many more cities in these lands. The 48 lands are all ours and will return to us, right?
The official Palestinian Authority schools, the media, and mosques preach to kill Israelis just because they're Jews. And children emulate the murderous videos online.
Take along a rock and knife. Stab and strike in Hebron. Do not consent to the rule of the despicable.
This incitement comes directly from the Palestinian leadership.
We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem. These attacks are individual acts of heroism, and I am proud of them.
The result of this incitement is hundreds of terror attacks in the past few months. Dozens of Israelis were murdered in those terror attacks. About half of the terrorists are under the age of 18. This incitement fuels terror and prevents peace.
ايش بتقولي لشباب الضفة؟
اطعم 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 اطعم.
We're going to talk about some of the hostages versus some of the prisoners that are now being exchanged between Israel and, quote unquote, I'm saying this just for the benefit of the show,
sure.
Palestine.
And let's remember back real quick. So on October 7th, there was an attack that killed around 1,200 people,
yep.
right? And around 240 captives.
Yep.
Now, did Israeli?
Nope.
Did they cause this?
Nope.
No.
In fact, it was
no.
a high holy day for Israel.
That's
yep.
right. They were attacked.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to remember that. So when people spew out this garbage about yep. how Israel yep. is hostile,
yep.
this is all garbage. This is all indoctrination. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No,
you're
spot on target. And that's an excellent point. People woke up on October the 7th, which was like us waking up on Christmas. This was mm-hmm. a high Sabbath of
yeah.
the Feast of Tabernacles. So many of the Israeli military was at home
mm-hmm.
with their families celebrating, you know, quote unquote, Christmas, basically
yeah.
a similar type of holiday as far as being a national affair. And then on that day, you had armed, trained combatants attacking unprotected villages, going into schools, going into homes, killing families, then sitting down to eat the meal that had been prepared
mm-hmm.
at their table, taking hostages, not IDF soldiers, but taking old men, old women, young women, children, killing their husbands and taking them hostage. So this is not a situation of two armies in a battle
Correct.
Where you have captives. This is a situation where you had people getting up, enjoying a holiday, and then next thing you know, they've got an AK-47 shoved in their face
yep.
or a knife shoved in their
ribs. It's unfortunate that the news, the media, they don't report that.
No.
It's unfortunate that they report something completely different,
no.
and then our young people go into schools and they're chanting anti-Israeli chants. They have no idea what they're chanting, and they are basically confining teachers or educators
yep.
in their offices, in their rooms, calling for them to be fired if they support Israel in any way or fashion. It's chaos.
Well,
we have gone down. We have lost our moral compass. Sorry, I took
well,
a stop.
Well, no, that's why this
yeah,
show and others like it are
yeah.
so important, because
yeah.
we've got to be that moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to point people towards due north, towards the
mm-hmm.
truth, as we have a battle for the minds of the next generation. First of all, just quick review. We talked about in past weeks. We may talk about it again next week, because we've got to understand. For over 500 years, there was no Israel. There was no Jordan. There was no Egypt. The Holy Land was taken captive by the Muslims around 638. And then their empire spread to, at its height, they almost conquered Europe. Matter of fact, great battle in Vienna, which led to the defeat of the Islamic hordes going across all of Europe and quite frankly changing history at that
mm-hmm.
point in time. But all of this was the last caliphate. This was the Ottoman Turkish Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, I referenced it last week, David, but I put the slide in this week. We have a neutral commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Great Britain referred to this area as Palestine.
Yeah.
The Arabs called it Syria. But at that time, for 500 years, it wasn't even. There were no sovereign nations. It was all part of the Ottoman
mm-hmm.
Turkish Empire.
Yep.
Now, this was Mark Twain
yep.
traveling the world. And as he traveled through the Holy Land, he wrote this in his book called Innocents Abroad. He said, "Of all the lands there are for dismal scenery, I think Palestine must be the prince. It is a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes. Over it broods the spell of a curse that was withered its fields and fettered its energies. Palestine is desolate and unlovely, and why should it be otherwise? Can the curse of the deity beautify a land?" So the point I want to remind people, and I wanted to show that quote, is that this was not prime real estate.
Mm-hmm.
This was, by the Ottoman Turks' own records, uninhabited land. You had nomads flowing through it. Really, the biggest part of the population base was in Jerusalem, or on the coastal city of Jaffa, which was an Arab city,
mm-hmm.
or on the Jewish city of Haifa in the north. Other than that, it was just a malaria-infested swamp to the north or desert to the south. I love this picture because this is when 66 Jewish families purchased lands that had been previously owned by Arabs just north of the city of Jaffa.
Mm-hmm.
They bought 12 acres and they began building.
And it still looks like this today.
Of course, yes. After 100 years, this is what it looks like. This is Tel Aviv.
Wow, yeah.
a miracle taking place in that desert mm-hmm. wilderness.
Yep.
But the point I'm trying to emphasize is that there was no long-lasting Palestinian people that called mm-hmm. this their homeland. Mm-hmm. It was largely a wasteland that nobody wanted, under the control of the Ottoman Turkish Empire.
Yep.
And except for the cities of Jaffa, Haifa, and Jerusalem, there just wasn't much activity mm-hmm. until what was called the Zionist movement. The Jews started to come back here at the end of the 18th century, early 19th century, because they needed a place to call home. They were being persecuted in Russia. Mm-hmm. They were persecuted in Germany. They were persecuted everywhere. Quite frankly, we're seeing persecution in America today against the Jewish people. So they determined we've got to have our homeland if we're going to have borders mm-hmm. and some mm-hmm. kind of security.
Yep.
So even up until World War I, you had the Ottoman Turkish Empire still controlling the Holy Land, or what we call the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after World War I, France and Great Britain were given mandates by the League of Nations, mm-hmm. the predecessor to the United
yep.
Nations, to take this and civilize it. Ottoman Turks, they're out. They partnered with Germany. They lost World War I.
Yep.
This dictatorship is being done away with, and the country of Turkey was established. Country of Egypt was established. You had Syria. You had all of these mm-hmm. sovereign states. We tried to make them westernized. Quite frankly, they did make yep. them westernized. That's happened after every war.
Mm-hmm.
The winner usually can either rebuild or destroy. We always choose to rebuild.
Exactly.
But we do maintain some order. We still have military posts in Germany. What, 70, 80 years after yep. World War II. So that's not uncommon. But the day after Israel declared its independence, you had all of these states formed and nobody cared. Matter of fact, generally, when Iraq was sovereign, it kicked the Israelis out and they moved to the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
But on May the 14th, 1948, less than 24 hours after Israel declared independence, five Arab countries invaded Israel. Now, here's why this is important, and I'm not going to get bogged down here. But the Arab League told the Arabs that lived in Palestine, we'll call it Palestine mm-hmm. for the sake of our
yes, sure.
clarity of our debate, that they need to get out of town, get out of the country, because we're going to come in and mm-hmm. we're going to make mincemeat out of the Jews. You can see the quotes by the leader of the Arab League said this is going to be an extermination. We're going to wipe yep. them out. Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who was a friend of Adolf Hitler and part of Hitler's final solution, said, declare holy war, my brothers, murder all the Jews. And that's still in the hadith of the mm-hmm. of Hamas. So that's still in their charter. But so you had Arabs being told, okay, get out. Now, imagine Oklahoma was at war with Texas. Of course, that'd be it is a war this week. And the Oklahoma National Guard said, hey, you guys need to clear out of Edmond because it's going to be a major battle going on there. When we're done, you can go back to your homes. Well, we mm-hmm. would probably move out of Edmond.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to
yep.
be a battle here. Well, that's what they did. These Arabs. And not all of them were loyal to the Muslim Brotherhood, but they were trying to save their lives. So they fled.
Mm-hmm.
They came to Jordan. They went to Syria. They went to Lebanon and sought refuge there. Now, again, I just mentioned, when Israelis were chased out of Iraq and other countries, they were assimilated into Israel. Mm-hmm. Welcome home, brothers.
Sure.
When these left on their own free will, assuming that there was going to be a major war, and that was over, all the Jews are going to be dead, then they could return. When they moved out, it was the Jordanians that put them in prison camps.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was the Egyptians that put them in prison camps. They won't give them driver's licenses. They won't allow them to become citizens of their Arab mm-hmm. countries. They're put in prison camps. And now we're 75 years later. There's nobody living in those camps that at one time called this their home. But they're being used as political pawns yep. trying to advance this narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, and they're being indoctrinated as children with this hate of the Jews.
Yep.
Now, I love this slide. This is going to be about the last one, I think, and then I'm going to do a couple more videos. In 1964, Yasser Arafat was rebirthed as the president of the PLO rather than a terrorist leading an organization called, I just went blank. And rather than being a terrorist, he was now recognized as the president of the Palestinian Lebanese mm-hmm. Liberation Organization by the Soviet Union. Now, for 3 years, Jordan had occupied this land.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years, Egypt had occupied Gaza. Now, if the solution was, and we can talk about this next week, we don't have time this week, but if the solution was a two-state system, they could have done it.
Yep.
There was no reason they couldn't, but they don't want a two-state system.
No.
That's why they sing the song, From the River to the Sea.
Yep.
Palestine will be free. Notice the logos for Hamas and Fatah. That's the name I couldn't think of a moment ago. It's all of Israel. There's no two-state system.
No.
There is no effort on the Muslims' part or on the Arabs' part to live in peace with the Israelis. That's what this whole thing was about.
Mm-hmm.
Going in to provoke a war so the Abrahamic Accords wouldn't be set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And they provoked one. They were successful. They knew what would happen. Now, I want our people to pay attention to some. This is from the Human Rights Watch. This is not a conservative organization. But early on, now we're going to see the message, the narrative is going to change and going to continue to change.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, 1 week after the event, even Human Rights Watch was being honest about what was taking place.
Sure.
Over 1,400 Israelis were murdered by these trained terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is something that is amazingly ignorant by the West media.
Yeah.
This was an interview this last week with an ambassador for the Nation of Israel. Listen to this question, and then you can be as dumbfounded as the rest of us when you hear it and listen to his answer.
I was speaking to a hostage negotiator this morning. He made the comparison between the 50 hostages that Hamas has promised to release, as opposed to the 150 prisoners that are Palestinians that Israel has said that it will release. And he made the comparison between the numbers and the fact that does Israel not think that Palestinian lives are valued as highly as Israeli lives?
That is an astonishing accusation. If we could release one prisoner for every...
Let me stop. The reporter from Sky News. Now, Israel's trying to get its people home safely. And they arranged a deal with Hamas that for every one hostage you release, we'll release three prisoners. So that is a phenomenal deal
for
Palestine.
Yeah.
This Sky News reporter apparently has no critical thinking skills and followed this question as was given to her that, wait a minute, that's obvious bias because the Israelis don't see the Palestinians as equal to the Israelis because they're going to give up three prisoners for everyone hostage. Are you kidding me? That is a generous... They would rather give up no prisoners for...
she's just reading the question. You know, how can... I know, really, anyone who's got a brain connected in here and can think for themselves, why is it that someone can spew out that garbage of a question? It was a stupid question and rationalize it as if I'm dumbfounded. Yep. We have lost our moral compass.
And this is a tough deal, David. If you start paying to free kidnapped people, then that becomes a perpetual source of revenue for the terrorists.
Exactly.
So they're establishing I understand why they're doing it, but this is going to be this precedent will come back to bite them, and it will only increase in scale.
Yeah.
But I want everybody to recognize and this is so important because they've got it right. European conservatives got it right. We've got prisoners. You got political prisoners that are actually accused of terrorism or found guilty of terrorism versus hostages.
Hostages,
so
yes.
So here are some of the Jewish hostages. This little girl had been spending the night with a friend's house when the kibbutz that she was staying in was overrun. She was taken as a hostage. This 72-year-old woman had her husband shot before her eyes. Then she was taken as a hostage. Again, you call them kibbutz. It's basically a community. Mm-hmm. Just like we have communities all over in the United States and here in Oklahoma, a kibbutz is just a community out in a desert. And this is a couple of babies being released. And, of course, we're supposed to applaud Hamas for how wonderful they are in releasing these babies. What were they taking babies to begin with? Taking a baby as a hostage versus – now, here is what's on the other side. It's 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So for every three Palestinians, they're releasing one hostage. Now, here's an example of one of them. This woman, if you listen to Al Jazeera, there was this older Arab woman that was in a traffic accident and wound up being burned and was arrested by the Israelis and held against her will. Well, the truth of the story was she was a car bomber. She pulled up to a Jewish outpost and blew her car up, but was unsuccessful. She just badly damaged her face in the process, but she survived. She is one of the terrorists that's in jail for an act of attempted murder. And she is being released and being called an equivalent to what took place. It's not equivalent.
Yeah.
You've got terrorists taking innocent families in their pajamas out of their own homes versus actual acts of terrorism. So I don't know, David. I mean, you're the intellectual here. I don't know if there's anything you would add to this, or we got a couple more videos here as we wind things down. Let me share this from CBN News. This also identifies some of the issues with education, what they're being taught. The
UN Relief and Works Agency has operated refugee camps for Palestinians.
It is about time to shut down UNRWA. They are not helping the Palestinians.
Israeli Ambassador to the UN, Danny Danone, tells CBN News hatred remains strong due to shocking incitement found in the Palestinian Authority school curriculum.
Today, a Palestinian child, when he goes to UNRWA school, he comes out hating Jews, incited, supporting Hamas. It shouldn't be that funding from Western democracies will support such curriculum.
Israel welcomed the U.S. decision to stop funding UNRWA more than a year ago. Researcher David Bedin has studied Palestinian school books and UNRWA facilities for years. He says while it's not likely UNRWA will be shut down, donor nations should put conditions on their aid.
Number one, take the school books away. We have school books here which honor murderers and throughout the books and talk about dying for the right of return. Number two, give people the option to leave the camps. Number three, there's $1.2 billion flowing into the UNRWA camps without any real oversight.
In 1978, Dalal al-Mughribi led a terror cell that killed 38 people, including 13 children.
She's pictured as a martyr in a new school book for 321,000 children. Dalal al-Mughribi, as a role model for the children who are taught the concept in UNRWA schools of the right of return by force of arms.
The right of return refers to the Palestinian demand that refugees from 1948 and millions of their descendants be allowed to return to their homes, most of which no longer exist.
My name is Rasan Kuwar, and I am a refugee from the village of Malka.
Today, Malka is a busy Israeli residential and commercial area in Jerusalem. Bedin's group recently produced a short film in Bethlehem's Aida refugee camp, just a few miles from Jerusalem.
There's no two-state or one-state solution. There's only one state, and it will be Palestine forever. And what was taken by battle will be reconquered through battle.
We must conquer our land by force. This land is our land. There is no way to divide it.
The children grow up with the idea that there is no Israel. It has to be ignored and or wiped out.
Bedin believes the seeds of the next violent Palestinian uprising against Israel have already been planted in these camps. Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
And I'm to blame too, because we as Christians can remain far too often silent.
Yep.
On these issues, because we're afraid to speak out. I know. It's when you hold people, not hold people accountable, but when you give a different viewpoint and try to talk to someone in an intellectual way or an intelligent way, whoever talks the loudest, whoever shouts the loudest, whoever starts calling names, they become the person who's right, and the person who's just trying to engage in a civil conversation becomes wrong, and therefore we cower down as Christians. So one of the reasons why we have this happening in our society in the United States is because, I hate to say this, but we as Christians are not loud enough. And I've heard this said before. If we remain silent, then basically aren't we agreeing with it?
Yeah. No, actually, Bill Federer came
Bill
into
Federer,
the church,
yes.
A great message about the sin of silence. Mm-hmm. Well, David, you're right online. And that's why we want to do this, just to show you all some videos, bring up some subjects on the other side of the story. And again, immediately after October the 7th, the whole world saw what happened, and the whole world was basically singing in unison at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then over the coming weeks, you start to see the messaging start to change, and you see some of the liberal media outlets starting to backtrack a little bit. And then you've got morons like this one gal that doesn't even understand what the 3-to-1 trade was all about. They think that was some sort of a racial bias, not recognizing that was a sweetheart deal, releasing three a Palestinian terrorist for every one child hostage that was taken. I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But That's why I made the reference to a sextant. That's why I made the reference to a compass. There has to be something that's always pointing due north.
That's right. And it's okay for pastors to preach this from the pulpit.
We have got to be 24/7 disciple.
That's right. And as you always say, is Jesus Lord over all of your life?
All of it. All of it. Not just Sundays. That's right, buddy. So, pastors, be encouraged. Make sure that you are providing truth to your people in every facet of life. Obviously, it begins with who Jesus is and what he did for us. But then in every facet of life, we're to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And there's all, goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When the old serpent came up and said, did God really say that? And we had a battle of truth claims. We had what God had said, and then we had the Satan's lie. Mm-hmm. We have the same thing in practically every facet of our lives.
That's right.
So moms and dads, make sure that your children are being taught at age-appropriate levels things of God for every facet of life. And pastors, make sure that you are protecting and leading your flock in a way that they are constantly being pointed to the truth in every facet of life. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Hopefully we've not exceeded too much time today. I think we're maybe a few minutes longer than usual, David.
But sure. That was a good conversation, yeah.
It's important to go back and look at the history. Mm-hmm. We're not just operating in a vacuum. There's background to all of this.
Yep.
And it proves that what we're reporting to you is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Palestinian, what the liberal media is trying to do is out there trying to deceive the masses.
Yep.
So, well, thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.